Thanks for joining us at the Business Growth Cafe, where each week we select from a menu of topics for a focused discussion with an industry expert to provide insights that can impact your business's growth. With your host, Angelo Ponzi.
I am Angelo Ponzi, your host here at the Business Growth Cafe, and thank you for joining us. I'm a vodka drinker, or rather I was. And thanks to my guest today, I now primarily drink a rye whiskey brand out of Baltimore, Maryland, called Sagamore Spirit. I like it in old fashions, Manhattans, a variety of cocktails. I know it sounds like I drink a lot, but mostly I like it straight up and on the rocks. Today at the cafe, I'm excited and fortunate to have the president of Sagamore Spirit, Ryan Tracy, who is here on the West Coast and has taken time out of his busy schedule to join me here at the Business Growth Cafe to discuss the emergence of Maryland-style rye whiskey and the growth of the Sagamore brand across the U.S. one sip at a time. Ryan, welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited. I really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule because I know you guys have jam-packed stuff going on in the time you're out here in California.
We like to stay busy.
Yeah, that's good. So before we get started, why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and about the brand?
Sure. I've been fortunate enough to be with Sagamore Spirit since day one. It was kind of a vision that kind of kicked around for a while, and about 2012 really decided that it was time to put it to work. And whiskey in itself takes a long time to build it out. You know, we didn't have a product. We didn't have a bottle. We needed to edit and define our story and needed to build out a distillery. So it took a long time to get that business kind of off the ground. And we finally launched the brand itself in May of 2016. Okay. And so we're a fairly young brand as far as consumer facing, especially here on the West Coast. But it's an exciting category. It's an exciting industry. And we're thrilled to be part of it.
Okay. Now, you mentioned something that's near and dear to my heart, and that's planning. And research.
Yeah.
And so, but when you were doing that, I mean, you didn't wake up one day and say, hey, I'm going to start a spirit brand tomorrow. I mean, so that kind of evolved, and then there was that planning phase. And how long did that take to get from conception to bottle one?
Every minute of the 3 or so years that we spent planning, we were fortunate enough. I mean, whiskey needs that kind of time, and so we were lucky to have that kind of time. I'm not sure if we had less time, how that would have gone. Mm-hmm. So I think we had a little bit of an advantage to have all of that time to kind of prepare. But it is a tremendous amount kind of going forward, going, what do you want to make? How much do you want to make? Where do you want to sell it? What's your price point? Who's your competitive set? What's your story? What's your brand story? How are you going to connect? And then how are you going to do it different than what everybody else is kind of doing currently? Because we don't have the money the big suppliers have. So you're going to have to find some sort of errant path and kind of do it different. And we're not here to get rich quick. We're really here to build a world-class brand. And so that's a very considered approach.
You're off and running, I believe, in San Francisco whiskey event not too long ago. You were voted the best tasting whiskey. I want to say the world, but you got to tell me.
Yeah, that's what they said. We took it. So really kind of one of the most recognized spirit competitions in the world is the San Francisco Spirit Competition. It's blind tasting. It's really got some of the best judges in the world with the best palates. And we're fortunate, we have three core products. We have our signature, which is an 83 proof. We have our cask strength. We have a double oak. So those are fairly readily available in most markets. And then we do a limited time offering that we rotate, and it's always unique and different, and that happens twice a year, usually once in early spring, once in the fall. And our last one was our straight rye whiskeys finished in port wine barrels, and we were fortunate enough to take home World's Best Rye Whiskey, San Francisco Spirit Competition 2019. So we're off and running. It's off to a great start. I kind of laughed a little bit to the team going, well, the bar's been raised. What's next, kind of thing, right? We're only 3 years in.
Yeah, well, that's a great point. And I've been fortunate. I have had the port, and it is fantastic. And I think we first met last summer,
yep,
at a whiskey tasting, and we had an opportunity. And I know some of my friends came to that whiskey tasting, and I constantly get phone calls saying, "Hey, I'm over at High Times. I can't, I want the cask, or they're out of this, or out of that, or they're down to BevMo." And I like the fact that it has now become part of their bar, if you will, when it comes to rye whiskey. So it's really, it's building it one. I mean, I said one sip at a time. I mean, it really kind of is that taste testing or tasting really drives consumption.
It's super important. I mean, it's a really challenging industry. It's incredibly competitive. Our team works extremely hard to get it out there. It's a matter of finding the right accounts that make sense for your brand, selling in, seeing if they are interested in carrying, if they have room on their shelves for another rye whiskey, what makes your rye whiskey unique and different, why is the consumer going to want to pull this off the shelf if I, you know, invest in it, and it's just these stages of constant courting and servicing, and so they work really hard at you know, telling the story, and we have a great product, but then servicing it. And that's a big part of our industry that's incredibly important to us, at least at Sagamore Spirit, is servicing the product and servicing the consumer and servicing our partners on the retail side. We don't just drop our product off and say good luck with it, you know, and getting that liquid to lips and telling people kind of what makes our rye whiskey different, telling them about the rich history of distilling in Maryland, and really kind of, you know, helping them understand why they, what makes ours different and what they might like about it, and really kind of connecting and building that brand. And so we've always considered ourselves a handshake brand, because it is literally one person at a time shaking hands, telling that story, and getting them to try your product.
Yeah, it's really about building relationships. I look at it as almost like a boots on the ground strategy, right? It's because you're, you know, I don't see you on television. I don't see billboards all over the place. But it is about that relationship with your partners.
It is. It's a great point. Those are probably the most important. It takes a long time to kind of get that trust, and they buy into your support, right? Again, there's a lot of overhead in these retailers and these restaurants and bars. And you look at the back bar, you don't realize how much money they have tied up in there, and saying, if I bring in your product, am I just going to sit on it, or will you help, you know, activate it? Will you tell people about it? Are you going to do things in the area to draw attention to this name? You're the new kid on the block, you know? So I bring it in. They might not know Sagamore Spirit out of the gate, but, you know, thanks to our team out there activating and working with retailers and doing whiskey events and tastings, people eventually connect with it. And they, I don't know, you hear sometimes it takes upwards of 12 times for them to see the brand name before it really clicks.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, there's a stat that I use when I talk about prospecting, when I talk to my clients, and it's usually 7 to 13 time touch points before someone actually buys.
Yeah.
You know, and so it is about that reminder. It's about building the name of the brand, having that opportunity to taste. I love that line, liquid to lips. And so I'm going to do that. So we're going to do a little taste testing as we go through here. So what am I drinking first?
This is our signature.
Okay.
This is kind of our workhorse. This is about 84% of our sales. This is one we really kind of see as what we truly define as a Maryland-style rye whiskey. So few people know there's a rich history of distilling in Maryland. It goes back 1500s, 1600s. It was mainly rum at the time, but by about the mid-1700s, it was predominantly rye whiskey. And Maryland, you know, was making whiskey for almost 200 years before Kentucky was even a state. And continue to go. And Maryland-style rye really became what was known as the premier best rye whiskey in the country. You know, in Pennsylvania, Monongahela-style rye was right there with it. And kept making it through Prohibition. It's one of the reasons we're called the Free State. And then, unfortunately, our last distillery closed its doors in 1982. And we saw, but that brand, that identity of Maryland-style rye lived on for decades. So we saw a great opportunity to kind of come in. And this product here, the Signature, is an 83 proof. It's a blend of two straight rye mash bills, one that's almost 100% rye and one that's barely legal rye. And it gives it this complexity and softness and balance to it, and makes it very easy to drink, very approachable, but still stands up great in a cocktail like a Manhattan or Old Fashioned. So a lot of folks are newer to rye whiskey, or they've had one they thought was really angular, and then when they take a sip of this, they go, wow, that was actually really good and really smooth and easy to drink. And so that's what we were looking for in this one.
Well, you found it, because, as I mentioned, I converted to to your brand, and this is my go-to.
Yeah.
I can't seem to keep it in the house. I hope my wife's not listening to this podcast. But, I find this so smooth and the aftertaste, and I can feel the aromas. And it is a spectacular product, and I love it.
Thank you. Yeah, we're very proud of it. And like I said, a lot of folks are newer to the category, and so this is a great way to get started, and people are really pleasantly surprised. Even the seasoned whiskey drinkers enjoy it, and it's so versatile, whether it's neat on the rocks or the different types of cocktails you can use them in.
So let's go back a little bit about the history and Maryland. And now your distillery is on, I think, a place called Sagamore Farm, right?
We have a connection to a thoroughbred horse racing farm called Sagamore Farm. Our distillery, though, is located in downtown Baltimore, right on the waterfront.
Oh, okay.
But the farm itself has a really unique history. It goes back to 1925. Alfred Vanderbilt got it for his 21st birthday when his mom realized he was spending more time at the racetrack than actual classes at Yale. So it must be nice.
Yeah.
But ended up being like a legendary thoroughbred horse racing farm. And then the Vanderbilts kind of let it go, and fortunate enough, our one of our co-founders bought it in the mid-2000s and kind of restored it, and it's a beautiful 530-acre farm with some horses on it and so forth. But come to find out, it's built on a shelf of limestone aquifers, and we have this beautiful little spring house that was built in 1909. You open up, there's no door. Floor in it. There's just spring water coming up out of the earth. And we use 100% of the limestone spring water from Sagamore Farm to proof all of our whiskeys. So we think after you spend 4 to 6 years in a barrel, you can only use the highest grade quality water you can find. And in the Mid-Atlantic region, we study it, and we still study it today, but we studied it for about 3 years. And limestone water is the ideal water for proofing your whiskey. It's iron-free and rich in calcium, and so that's our kind of connection and where our name comes from.
Okay. Well, I mean, the fact that it's your water and nobody else can use it, that's a huge differentiator for the brand.
Our own, like, terroir to it.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So as the president of the company, you think about starting from the beginning and growing this brand. What keeps you up at night?
What keeps me up at night? You know, I think about everybody on our team and how hard they work, and I, you know, it takes a long time for a brand to get built, and so I just want to make sure people know that that takes time. They don't get burned out because it's a marathon, and so people need to take care of themselves, and you know, as hard as they work, they also need to take some personal time.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredibly important to us, and then for us, I think, you know, it's just competition. It's fierce out there, and you're always trying to figure out, what can I do to one-up them? How can I find a different way? Because I don't want to do it the way the others did it, and we don't have the capital to do it the way those guys do it. So we have to find a different path, and so always trying to think, what exactly is that? And we do some really interesting things, but, you know, what is the next level? What's the next step? How do we raise the bar again?
Mm-hmm. In technology, a lot of times we'll talk about disruption. If you think of Airbnb and Nike Netflix and things like that, I mean, they're disruptors. Sounds like Sagamore is a little bit of a disruptor, too, in the industry.
We enjoy that. Yeah, absolutely. You know, we love telling the story that, you know, Basil Hayden and basically Jacob Beam, they all learned to distill and lived in Maryland first, distilling before moving to Kentucky. That's a story Kentucky's never going to tell you. So we love to tell that story. And I'm sure the folks down in Kentucky, which we have a tremendous amount of respect for, they're going, what are they up to? You know, but it's history. It's facts.
Yeah.
You know, that rich history of distilling in Maryland, no one's going to tell you except for somebody from Maryland. So this year, when we took out a billboard across the street from Churchill Downs 2 weeks before the Kentucky Derby and 2 weeks after the Kentucky Derby with a picture of our rye bottle there, it said Bourbon's older brother, the original American whiskey, the Maryland rye whiskey revived. We got a lot of attention for that.
Yeah, I bet you did.
For a small little brand to go down there and say we were making whiskey before you.
That's great.
You know, it's fun.
That is great. I love that. I love that. I think you said Pennsylvania rye.
Yeah.
So what's you know, briefly, what's the big difference between a Maryland and a Pennsylvania?
Yeah, so our neighbors to the north, Pennsylvania, is making a Monongahela style, which is typically 100% rye in the mash bill. And rye tends to be a spicier grain compared to corn. So they're really kind of bold, and they're beautiful whiskeys, but they're big and bold. Maryland style ryes tend to have more corn and malt in them on top of the rye. So we find it to be a very nice balance and very approachable. You know, we have our big cask strength for those who are looking for something big and bold. But like you taste it in the signature, for something that you just, you know, you don't want it necessarily ripping out the back of your throat or anything like that, mm-hmm. and being really harsh. That's what we like about the Maryland style. It's just kind of that balance of that the rye, but still tastes like a rye, but it kind of has this corn and malt kind of softness, finish, sweetness to it. So that's what we look at as far as Maryland style.
Okay. Now, I love the billboard. That's fantastic. I love stuff like that. As we mentioned earlier, I mean, you're really not a big brand. You're not running big ads and things like that. So I see this kind of as a boots on the ground, get in front of people, getting to taste it. But you do have a pretty significant presence in social media. Mm-hmm. So how did, from a marketing strategy and an awareness building strategy, how do you utilize social media?
You know, our kind of target consumer lives for social media, and it's a great way to get a long, big reach right from a desk in Baltimore, in a sense, or show all the forms of activation. You know, we're fortunate enough, our team will send in pictures. They'll play a role. But it's those impressions, that connection is incredibly important. And I think it allows people to get a sense of who your brand is by following along with your stories and the people involved in the care, the quality, the technique, all the things that you do to kind of help separate you. It gets your story out there, and it connects you with us, the brand, and the people. And our teammates are a big part of this brand. And so social media plays a big role for us.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I follow you guys, and so I see it all the time. And it's pretty consistent. And as a marketer, that's always the thing I talk to my clients about is, if you're going to do it, you've got to do it, be consistent, you got to be authentic with it. It isn't like, I'll post today and 6 months from now I'll do it again. It's useless at that point in time.
Yeah, but don't overpost.
Yeah, well, I know. Somebody told me the other day, they said, hey, I see you all the time, everywhere. And I went, maybe I'm overdoing it. I'm not sure yet. Now, we talked about tastings, and I think, and you were here in the summer, you're here now, and I think you were here in between. So do you spend a lot of time in market?
Yeah, it kind of depends a little bit on the time of year, but going out there and again, helping the team tell the story in any way possible. So just kind of being on since the very beginning. Obviously, I know quite a bit about the brand and how we got there and why our bottles shaped the way it is, why we chose the mash bills the way we do, and why we have our distilling process the way we have it. You know, our stills are even unique in itself. You know, we have a 40-foot mirror polished column copper still, the only one Vendome's ever made. And some people occasionally run like one thumper off them. We run two. So there's a lot of things that we do that are kind of different that make our products stand out and be unique. And just being there from the beginning, if I can go out there and help the team tell the story, I love that part. And meet people and be part of activations. But I try and do about 15 days a month at the distillery. We're still very young and got a lot of work to do there from planning and strategy. But getting out in the market and hearing it and seeing it firsthand helps bring that information back to Baltimore on what we're doing right and how we build on it and what we might need to change or edit.
Okay. All right. So you said a word. I have no idea what it means. What's a thumper?
Oh, it's kind of it's basically a small pot still attached to your column still that will up the proof of your whiskey go through. And I kind of consider it as something that polishes it. And so it makes for a cleaner distillate and why our whiskeys tend to be smooth tasting.
Okay. So I've already finished mine, so I'd like to go on to a second one, and I'm kind of scanning here.
Yeah.
I've actually have not had the cognac, and that's
oh yeah, this one just came out. This is this one just came out. So after aging our straight rye whiskeys for about 5 years, we sourced some French oak cognac barrels that had cognac in them for about 30 plus years.
Wow.
And then we rested our rye whiskey in there for 9 months and then brought it out of there, put it into the bottle, took the spring water, proofed it down to 101. And I got to say, this is an amazing one. And it's one of our limited time offerings. So when it's gone, it's gone. But I love the baking spices on the front. And then you get kind of that cognac classic, kind of like a little bit of apple and that kind of cognac dryness and mouthfeel on the back. And this almost like real sweet creme brulee, brown sugar sweetness finish to it. It's really well balanced. They worked really well together. We're very happy with the way it came out. We're thrilled.
Is that new in the market in California?
It's new in the market. I think there's only about 700 cases nationwide, so when it's gone, it's gone. So grab it while you can.
I'm just going to say I have to go get one.
Yeah, it's spectacular.
I might know somebody can pick me one up. So let's spend a couple minutes going through. Now, there's four bottles here. Mm-hmm. I saw on the website there's actually six. Now, you have the port, you've got the cognac, and I think I saw one that was aged in Pinot.
Yeah, so we had some. So we have, like I said, you tried our signature, our 83 proof. We have a double oak, which is aged a second time in an innovative wave stave barrel. We cut grooves down the inside of the staves and then just toast it and do about 9 months in there. It's really one of the few, if not kind of one of the only double oak ryes I know of on the market. Really fun and unique. And then the big, bold cash strength. And then we have had these limited time offerings that kind of rotate that can fall underneath a distiller select, where maybe it's something that came from a distillery background, maybe a whiskey finished in tequila barrels, or and then there's a kind of our vintner select, which is something where we source some wine barrels, Pinot, Shiraz, and some port barrels, and did a blend, our vintner select. And we have a brewer select, where we'll work with breweries, send our rye barrels to them. They'll put beer in them for a while. Then they'll send them back, and we'll put our whiskey in it. So it's just lots of fun types of collaborations. And those all kind of fall underneath this limited-time offering that, you know, they're short runs, but they're fun and exciting and kind of show off the innovation of the team and the versatility of Maryland-style rye. And then, you know, the three core products are always out there. And then we even have a barrel select program where the retailers can come and kind of handpick what we consider to be our premier barrels.
Okay. Well, that's fantastic. And for those listeners out there, if you're... I don't know where you are in the country. I believe you're in about 35 states now.
Yep.
And I think Japan as well. Did I see you sent
some? We are officially now in Japan, China, Philippines, shortly to be Canada, UK, and Germany.
Well, fantastic.
And Panama.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So we know what kept you up at night.
Yeah.
So what has been your biggest challenge in growing this brand? My show is about business. So from a business standpoint, what has been the biggest challenge in growing this brand?
Capital is always something, you know, and how to spend it wisely and how feel. You're never going to have enough money. And so when you go spend it, you know, you want to feel really good about how you spend it. So I wouldn't say it's been a challenge, but that's where we probably give it a tremendous amount of thought. And then the liquor world itself has a tremendous amount of compliance and a lot of antiquated ways from back in Prohibition. And so there's a lot of hoops to jump through, and it's not easy. So every time we might have a really creative idea, might not be something you can actually do, because you're trying to think outside the box, but it's so heavily regulated and there's so much compliance behind it, makes it really challenging. And then, you know, we have a three-tier system, and we have our distributor partners are really engaged, and they're incredibly important to us, but, you know, they have big books and we're just a little guy in there, so sometimes getting the attention is challenging. So working within the structures, but that's what it is, and you're going to have to find a way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, there's no choice. There's no going really around it as of today.
Yeah, well, I've noticed in one of the bigger retailers here, I remember when I first was exposed to the brand, I mean, you were on the bottom shelf. I think the last time I went, you were on shelf 3, maybe out of 5. So getting close to right to the middle, which is fantastic. You want to get eye level, and then we're golden, right?
Yeah, it goes back to those relationships.
Yeah.
It, you know, probably took a teammate 7 visits to even get them to buy the first bottle, and then another 7 visits to say it seems to be selling well. Maybe even if they, and then the retailer says, well, you probably deserve to be put in a better space now, you know, and you just keep earning the right. And that comes back to servicing the product, servicing, you know, the retailer, and just not dropping a bottle and running. And that's incredibly important to us to make sure that, you know, it's job security, keeps you busy. There's no shortage of work.
Yeah, I mean, well, every street corner, there's a potential opportunity to sell the brand, right?
I don't know how many retailers that have a liquor license in this country, and they don't all make sense for our brand, but there's a lot to be done out there, and then you go out there and you fight hard and you hope to hold that space, you know, and then the brand needs to catch up with the hard work these guys are doing, and the pool starts happening, and it all kind of comes together. But you can never get complacent. You can never back down. You can never take your foot off the gas.
Well, you made a comment about they're not all right for our brand. So in looking at your brand strategy and the kind of the persona of a typical retailer, let's say, or a restaurant, I mean, is there a specific profile of a company that you go after you feel that's best for the brand?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously being whiskey, you look for bars or restaurants that tend to have kind of a whiskey theme to them. They obviously have the consumer base already, so that's really important to us. And the retailers, their clientele as well. And so, I mean, some places are just really great at selling beer, Maybe not so much whiskey. Some places are really great at selling vodka. Maybe, again, not whiskey. But so really kind of finding out. And then this day and age, some folks are better at hand selling our products. So they love, we can go in there, arm them with the information of our brand, and then they're good about saying, I can tell you a little bit about Sagamore Spirit and what makes them unique, and really helps hand sell it. And that's important to us, to kind of just keep it moving.
Well, that's about that education, I think you mentioned earlier on, is really about not only educating the consumer, but educating your retailers and every retailer becomes a brand ambassador. Every bartender becomes a brand ambassador, right?
Yep.
Making sure they can tell the story and tell it well.
Yeah. I mean, it's a heavy lift, but we like the challenge of, but again, nobody's going to tell the story of history of distilling in Maryland or Maryland style rye other than a distillery from Maryland for the most part. There's a few out there, though, it's kind of interesting that are not in Maryland that do a Maryland style rye. So it speaks, I think, that's the ultimate compliment that, there are folks out there that recognize it as a unique and premium type product. So
okay, there's a couple questions that I ask all my guests. I've already asked you one. The second one is, what's the best business advice you've ever received and or given?
Received or given? I've received a lot, and I've received a lot of good things. But I mean, I think having passion, patience and persistence to everything that you do is incredibly important. And I try and take that approach to everything. And it's a balance of all three. But people are going to feed off your passion. They're not going to feed off of something that you're not even excited about. Mm-hmm. So showing the passion and excitement for something will get them engaged. And then I've kind of gone through it in so many scenarios and how hard this team works. There's a lot of patience that has to be involved. You might not get that account. You might not get that menu for a while. But being persistent and being patient and hanging in there and servicing it is incredibly important. So, the other thing that I was always told is build a great team, tell a great story, build a great product and service it. And so kind of we take that approach to everything.
Okay. If your journey as a business person, an entrepreneur, was a book, what would the title be?
Enjoy life to its fullest, and I don't know, man, that's a good question. I would say whiskey, you want to enjoy a little bit of moderation to it too, I don't know, you cherish every day. I feel very fortunate to be with this company, Sagamore Spirit. I feel very fortunate to work with the people I work with. I just cherish every day.
Okay. That is wise words and that everybody should live by. How are we doing over there, Paul the engineer? We got to wrap it up. All right. So Brian, why don't you, first of all, this cognac is fantastic.
Thank you.
While you're talking, my mouth is just feeling great.
Good.
Anyway, why don't you tell the audience how they can learn more about Sagamore and certainly connect with you if that's something you'd like?
Oh, we'd love that. Obviously, there's a few things that you can do. Basic website, sagamorespirit.com, and it's not spirits. There's a reason why. Well, maybe another show sometime, but there's just a lot of spirit and passion to this brand. And so sagamorespirit.com, social media, at Sagamore Spirit. And then for those who want to learn more, become the first to know, we run a great brand ambassador program. Sign up to become a whiskey thief. We don't overload your inbox with junk mail. We just only send you things that are relevant, but you'll be the first to find out about these special type releases like cognac finish and fun events that we do down at the distillery and maybe throughout the country. So it's a great little brand ambassador program too. So if you really like to stay close to Sagamore Spirit and learn more about it, the social media and the Whiskey Thieves is a great program.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I haven't signed up, but I am going to this afternoon because I wish I didn't know about the cognac until I was doing some homework for today's show. And
Cognac finished.
I'm going to have another one before I go, by the way. I don't have anywhere to go this afternoon.
And then I always have to get a shameless plug in that we run tours 7 days a week at our distillery, but it is a beautiful waterfront distillery in downtown Baltimore, right by the Inner Harbor, right by Camden Yards, right by the Inner Harbor. So come check us out. We're there 7 days a week. You can book tours in advance. It's a great city. Come see us. There's a great restaurant on site there. So lots to do, lots of activities. Tours last about an hour. Sample four different whiskeys. Can't go wrong.
All right, fantastic. And I'm going to make my way back there. I have my in-laws live in Virginia, so next time I'm back that way, I'm going to head up to see you guys. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you again for joining us at the cafe. You can find out more about me, read my blogs, view my show videos, or sign up to receive more information at theponzigroup.com or connect with me on LinkedIn. And if your business is ready for growth and you need a CMO but not quite ready for a full-time person yet, connect with me. I'd welcome the opportunity to explore the benefits of working with a fractional CMO. And lastly, please subscribe to this show. And if you're already a subscriber, I encourage you to tell others about it so they can benefit from this great content. Thank you again for joining us, and join me next week for lunch at the Business Growth Cafe.
Thank you for listening to today's discussion at the Business Growth Cafe with your host, Angelo Ponzi. Take a moment to subscribe to this podcast and visit our website at www.businessgrowthcafe.com. Read Angelo Ponzi's blogs at www.theponzigroup.com.